In the Gospels, we find a few times Jesus calling those to be his disciples. Basically, the stories that we find, all of them is a positive answer. Now, Matthew was a tax collector, and Jesus came and said, "Follow me." And it says, he stood up and followed Jesus from that time on. Peter was by the shore, mending, some of the apostles were mending their nets for fishing, and the Lord came and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately, says some of the gospel, especially Mark likes the word immediately, as everything was happening immediately. They left and they followed Jesus. And so on, we find those. Today, the gospel tells us a different story. First, a man comes to Jesus with a, I believe, a very honest, sincere question. "What must I do, Master, to inherit eternal life?" I think that's a question that many people would have. And Jesus tells back, you know, "Follow the commandments." But there was something more that he was searching. Because he says, "Yeah, but I have done this my whole life, or since my youth," to be what the word really says. "I have done this since my youth." And the Lord understood that perhaps he was ready for the next step in his life. And he says that the Lord looked at him and loved him. And from there, then he said, "Well, then one thing is left. Go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then follow me." And we know the answer, that he couldn't do that. He just went away. Perhaps surprised, but above all, he couldn't. He couldn't make that step of selling everything. Actually, just thought maybe to understand, not to tell that, looking things from his point of view, because the man's, we can't know, but we can just try to look at how people understood wealth at that time. Now, they always saw, since, you know, we find in scriptures that a rich man, a rich family was a sign of God's blessing. To be rich was to be blessed by God. To be poor, on the other hand, was something was wrong, that God was not really blessing. But there was not to do with God. But they saw that something was wrong with the person, with the man, because he probably was doing something that was not pleasing God, or his family had done something, his father, his grandfather had done something that was not pleasing God, and then God withdrew the blessings. They saw that for richness. They saw the children as a blessing from God, and if they had no children, was a meaning that God's blessing was not upon the couple. When somebody was sick, sickness that they could not understand, that they didn't have, you know, the means to know the causes or the cure for that, that was a sign. They would see a sign of God's, that was withdrawing his blessings, or maybe a sign that they were sinners. So when that man says, "No, I'm not giving away," my thought, "I'm not giving away what God's blessing has given me, the wealth. But Jesus, time and again, we should be surprised. You know, it's a word that I like, to be surprised. And Pope Francis used that a lot, you know, that God surprise you. Sometimes we look that, usually I say that on weddings. I tell the couple, you know, for the young couples, sometimes we do weddings that they've been married or they were convalidating their wedding, but usually young couples, I usually tell them, if you think you know each other well, be prepared for the surprises that will come with life. Be prepared for the surprises. If you think, you know, so-and-so that you know her, and I tell her, if you think you know him, there will be surprises. But then I tell them, most of them, if not all surprises, will be good ones. Because the person, if you love, will always turn out to be even better than what you thought. But we have to be open to God's surprises in our lives. And Jesus, in so many occasions, he will take the values that society and the culture of his time, even the religion, and will put them upside down so that what they consider to be a sign of blessing, the Lord says, no, leave that behind. In order to follow me, you cannot be attached to anything but me. He wants an exclusive love. And our response has to be to him alone and not have a divided heart. I'm here, but I am there. I have one foot on this side, my other foot is on the other side. And sometimes I have to follow here, but sometimes I'll have to take care of something else. And that is valid even today, nowadays. We are the whole year celebrating in the church what is the Pope Francis invited us to celebrate, the year of consecrated life. Consecrated life it's been there for many times, but to be used as a terminology, as a way of saying, it's fairly new. We used to say celebrating religious life, but then we say we are all religious, and we were trying to refer to a group of women and men in the church that, hearing God's call, will answer to live their lives in a way that is consecrated to the Lord. Those are the sisters, the brothers, priests who are living in a community, order or congregation, so many ways to tell, missionaries, some of them. Here, we are blessed in our parish. We have sisters of Notre Dame who are present here. Sister Pat, with the religious education, faith formation in the parish. We have Sister Lois, if you're following the bulletin these days, has been telling a bit, you know, about myself, Father Vincenzo. I believe this week, if you see, there's words on Sister Lois, and I believe there will be some about Sister Pat as well, telling of our vocation, or how we felt God's call in our lives, and how we do find happiness in the way we live. The sisters of Notre Dame, we, Father Vincenzo, myself, priests, missionaries, Scalabrinians, in that funny and difficult name, Scalabrinian, comes from the founder, the bishop who founded, was John Baptist Scalabrini back in Italy. So he's came, so we are like his sons, so we are called Scalabrinians. And working as missionaries, Father Vincenzo left Italy many years ago, has worked in Canada, in the United States, in Colombia, different missions, different positions. I came from Brazil, studied, you know, came to study English here, was sent all the way to study in the Philippines, where I spent 5 years of my life studying theology, then back in the States, working in different places. But what is more important? To be free. To celebrate consecrated life is to celebrate one vocation when God has blessed, not us as individuals, yes, we feel blessed, but has blessed the church with so many vocations, as we have mentioned a few weeks ago in talking about the gift of the family, which is so beautiful and perhaps the one vocation that is really most noble among all vocations, with the family, because that's the base, that's the of everything, of every other vocation. Yet we share our happiness. And we do, you know, in the consecrated life, we say we have our vows of obedience. And they said, obedience to whom? Well, first obedience to God, but then I have so many superiors that I have to obey so many people. But, you know, that's our superior. We have to obey the bishop. We have to, you know, we have a local superior. We have a regional superior. We have what we call a general superior. Anyway, anyone has a mission. And we're there to serve. That's our obedience. But especially serve God, because we are all here to serve the Lord. So our foremost obedience is to God. The vow of chastity. We are not married. No. That doesn't mean we don't have a family. Oh, I never felt that I didn't have a family in my life. And not only the family, my brothers and sisters. I come from a large family. We are seven. Not only that family that's always there and contact them, I visit them. But everywhere I go, every place I have served, every parish, every mission, I always felt that, well, I have a family there. I have those whom I come to interact, and you are my family, and you are my family wherever I am. So what the Lord says, if you give up, you know, brothers and sisters and wives and or husbands for the sisters, you know, you're going to have many more, in the sense you're going to have a huge family to live with. And the vow of poverty, which is not so much of having nothing, because we do have sufficient to live and to live well, but is to be free. Today we are here. Tomorrow they might ask from as missionaries said, well, we need you to go to another country to work somewhere else. Okay, we have to be free. We don't have so much of what I'm going to do with all my possessions. I put everything I have perhaps in one bag and or you know, my suitcase, and we go. Sometimes even that we do is, oh, I have a book, my books that I have to carry, and I have this that I need to carry, and this. So moving around is good, because it always helps you to keep, you know, usually I have one suitcase that everything has to be in there, you know, whatever is not, you know, it exceeds, and some things that, well, I don't need that. And it's funny, because I remember one missionary, he worked many years in Haiti. From Haiti, he was transferred to Canada. And there he was going to Canada, winter time, and he had a carry-on, small one, that was everything he had, you know, perhaps two pairs of pants. And he passed by. I was working in serving a mission in Miami at the time. And I said, you know that's cold in Canada, it's winter. I said, he told me, I'm not gonna die of cold. I believe that somebody will come to the airport, they will share me a coat or something, and somebody will give me. So I don't think I'm gonna die. They won't let me die of cold over there. And I said, well, you know, sometimes you say, well, if I have to go there, but I need this and this and that. A consecrated life means we belong to God. We belong to God's people, and we want to serve. God is calling. That's not something of the past. God is still calling young men and women to be witnesses, to give testimony of God's love through a consecrated life. I wonder if, you know, such a beautiful families that we have in this parish, and it is in the family, that's the place where a vocation is born. I wonder if every father or mother here, our grandfather and grandmother, have considered asking their children, what do you think? Maybe God is calling you to be at the service of the Lord, wherever the Lord leads you. We don't choose. You say, I want to be here. The Lord is the one choosing. What if young men and women, if you feel said, wow, I want to give my life a different meaning, not only to do what regular people do, but do something really special. That special thing might be consecrated life. God is calling you. And you have to consider, because he's going to tell the same thing he told that man in the gospel. You know, you follow all the commandments, but then there is a moment that you have to go, sell everything that you possess, and then follow the Lord. Because to follow him, we need to be free. We need to be available. But don't worry. God's love will give us much more than we can ever, ever expect. And the Lord will never, never abandon anyone who follows him. They will find 100 times more, as the gospel says, and happiness and joy, which is the most important thing. And in the end, what the young man was looking, said, how can I achieve eternal life? And the Lord promises, in the end, you'll find eternal life. Amen.